If the horse of death was inclined to let you ride him, then you'd stay on, saddle or no. And there was no upper limit to the number of people he could carry. After all, plagues sometimes happen suddenly. The historians paid him no attention. Horses did not walk into libraries. Susan mounted. There were plenty of times when she wished she'd been born completely human and wholly normal, but the reality was she'd give it all up tomorrow. Apart from Binky. A moment later, four hoofprints glowed like plasma in the air above the library and then faded away. Tick! The crunch, crunch of the Yeti's feet over the snow and the eternal wind of the mountains were the only sounds. Then Lobsang said, "By cut off his head, do you actually mean sever the head from the body?" said Lutse. "And," said Lobsang, still in the tones of one carefully exploring every aspect of the haunted cave, "he doesn't mind?"
"Well, it's a nuisance," said the Yeti. "Bit of a party trick, but it's okay if it helps. The sweeper has always been a good friend to us. We owe him favours."
"I've tried teaching them the way," said Lutse proudly.
"Yes, very useful. A washed pot never boils," said the Yeti.
Curiosity vied with annoyance in Lobsang's head and won.
"What have I missed here?" he said. "You don't die."
"I don't die, with my head cut off, for laughing, ho, ho," said the Yeti. "Of course I die, but this is not such a sizable transaction."
"It took us years to work out what the Yetis were up to," said Lutse. "Their loops played hob with the mandala until the abbot worked out how to allow for them. They've been extinct 3 times.
3 times, eh?" said Lobsang.
"That's a lot of times to go extinct. I mean, most species only manage it once, don't they?" The Yeti was entering taller forest now, of ancient pines.
"This'll be a good place," said Lutse. "Put us down, sir."
"And we'll chop your head off," said Lobsang weakly. "What am I saying? I'm not going to chop anyone's head off."
"You heard him say it doesn't worry him," said Lutse, as they were gently lowered to the ground.
"That's not the point," said Lobsang hotly.
"It's his head," Lutse pointed out.
"But I mind."
"Oh, well, in that case," said Lutse, "is it not written, if you want a thing done properly, you've got to do it yourself?"
"Yes, it is," said the Yeti.
Lutse took the sword out of Lobsang's hand. He held it carefully, like someone unused to weapons. The Yeti obligingly knelt.
"You're up to date," said Lutse.
"Yes."
"I cannot believe you're really doing this," said Lobsang.
"Interesting," said Lutse. "Mrs. Cosmopolite says seeing is believing, and, strangely enough, the great Wen said, 'I have seen and I believe.'"
He brought the sword down and cut off the Yeti's head. Tick. There was a sound rather like a cabbage being sliced in half, and then a head rolled into the basket to cheers and cries of, "Oh, I say, well done," from the crowd. The city of Quirm was a nice, peaceful, law-abiding place, and the city council kept it that way with a penal policy that combined the maximum of deterrence with the minimum of re-offending.
"Gripper the butcher smarts."
The late Gripper rubbed his neck.
"I demand a retrial," he said.
"This may not be a good time," said Death.
"Couldn't possibly have been murder, because the..."
The soul of Gripper Smarts fumbled in its spectral pockets for a ghostly piece of paper, unfolded it, and continued, in a voice of those to whom the written word is an uphill struggle,
"Because the bell ends of my mind was disturbed."
"Really?"
said Death. He found it best to let the recently departed get things off their chest.
"Yes, 'cause I really, really wanted to kill him, right? And you can't tell me that's a normal frame of mind, right? He was a dwarf anyway, so I don't think that should count as manslaughter."
"I understand that was the 7th dwarf you killed," said Death.
"I'm very prone to being disturbed," said Gripper. "Really, it's me who's the victim here. All I needed was a bit of understanding, someone to see my point of view for 5 minutes.
"What was your point of view?"
"All dwarfs need a damn good kicking, in my opinion. Here, you're deaf, right?"
"Yes, indeed."
"I'm a big fan. I've always wanted to meet you."